Incident in Salt Lake City since it popped. We were kind of one of the first people to go, oh shit, did you guys see this video? Because it is so effed up. And the, you know, it, we had our first reaction to it. I came back with a more calm analysis. Hey, you know, let's not overreact. And then I watched it again, like this morning, the longer version. And I was like, wow, this shit is so wrong on every level. Like, this particular officer was just totally off his rocker. Like, there's just no reason for him to have behaved the way he did. And what really fucking pissed me off, Tom, today of all days, was when I heard about this NPR article, you know, calling nurse a hero, Utah hospital bars the popo from patient care areas. And when I read this, I was like, wait a minute, it occurred to me when I first saw the thing that, oh, this happened in a patient care area, and I was thinking about, you know, her peers seeing this go down and how damaging and humiliating and embarrassing that is for a healthcare worker who's just trying to do her job and doing it with incredible amounts of dignity, I may add, this former Olympian, Alex Wubbles. But then I read this article and I realized, holy shit, this was a patient care area.
Right.
So this asshole comes in, roughs up a nurse, grabs her, puts her in handcuffs, and marches her out in front of doctors, nurses, patients, administrators, patients in a place of sanctuary and healing.
Well, that's why we didn't release the, remember, we didn't release the long version because it was like HIPAA violations all over the place.
Yeah.
Because they were, yeah, they're right in the middle of the patient care area, so.
Yeah, because unlike the press, we have a slight bit of common decency, and also we're terrified of HIPAA, whereas the press does not give a fuck. Did I ever tell you the story about the press not giving a fuck about Tony Hsieh, my partner in Turntable Health, the CEO of Zappos?
No. So, they violated his HIPAA?
Yes. So they raided some doctor's office and found a bunch of radiology reports hidden in like something. And they were just random radiology reports. And the press in Las Vegas on the news said, and one of the patients whose radiology reports was found was Tony Hsieh, the founder of Zappos. Everybody's outraged by this doctor. And it was like, wait, you just violated HIPAA. You can't even say that the patient is a patient. They didn't say anything else about it. And it was just probably some benign, you know, thing. But that's total horseshit. Now, what they probably just didn't know. And I remember telling Tony at the time, I'm like, you know, you could probably destroy these people like very easily. Yeah. And, you know, Tony being Tony, he's like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, the press is weird, man. Like when somebody murders a child and it's captured on video, it's the alleged murderer. No.
Right.
I watched him murder, you know?
Yeah, in my mind. I reconstructed the scene.
Right, exactly.
No, it's true, man. I mean, but it is what it is. That's what we're left with. So I started thinking about this, and I said, you know what? My elephant started getting very angry, and I said, we got to do something. Now, the thing is, have we done too much? Because here is what the article says. The Salt Lake City Hospital, where a police officer roughly arrested a nurse who was protecting her patient's rights in July, and by the way, it seems to be there's agreement, at least in the press, that the Supreme Court last year's decision really showed that Alex was in the right. You can't right. just come in and draw blood on a patient without a warrant, without them being under arrest.
Oh, and Salt Lake PD signed off on the new hospital policy
right.
also. So when she was reading them in that video,
right.
that was the hospital policy that Salt Lake PD had signed off on.
Right. And I don't know that we can necessarily put all the blame on Jeff Payne. His supervisor had asked him to arrest her if she didn't comply.
Yeah.
So there's horseshit all up and down.
Exactly.
By the way, I have heard from a few Latter-day Saints in Utah who've said it is part of the culture to really defer to authority. And in some instances, the police then are able to get away with stuff that they normally wouldn't be able to get away with in other cities.
That's
an interesting cultural thing. I mean, Logan, you're a lapsed Mormon. Do you have any thoughts on that?
I mean, that makes sense. It's kind of like their higher, you know, how they work.
Yeah.
Their whole church is set up like that, where they, you know, they go talk to their elders and they have their bishops and all that stuff. So
we should have that here, you guys. Like, I want to be Elder Z.
Elder Z.
And I want Tom to be Younger T.
Younger T.
Or something. Straight out of Salt Lake.
For anybody who doesn't know what clap back was, that was the title. I just taught Z. Z, you want to tell the audience what clapback is?
I still don't understand. Tom's like, we're going to call it this. I'm like, what's a clapback? What is that?
Clapback is like when you're watching like the Kardashians or like Real Housewives of Atlanta or something, and somebody's like, "You don't know about me. You don't know about me, girl." They don't always have to be black. I just did a black voice because I'm racist.
You two are terrible. I hate both of you. We're dark today, I told you. We're like having this dark moment, and I love it. It makes me surge with evil energy like Mum-Ra on the Thundercats. Anyway, speaking of evil, so let's continue reading this. Law enforcement who come to the hospital for any reason involving patients will be required to check in to the front desk of the hospital, said the chief nursing officer, Margaret Pierce, of University of Utah Hospital. And I've spoken at University of Utah before, their medical school, when Vivian Lee was the dean. There, a hospital house supervisor will meet officers to work through each request. So it's no longer they can just walk into the ER and do their thing. And sort of looking through the subtext of this, our hospital continues to offer full support to Alex, said Gordon Crabtree, the hospital system CEO. Yeah. I think many of you know she's an Olympian, and to us, she's truly an Olympic-sized hero. We extend our appreciation for her dedication and service. Now, guys. If you were an administrator at that hospital, and I'm not second guessing them, I'm just saying, would you say anything other than that, knowing the national outcry about this? And you, we all in healthcare know that she's a hero, but generally administrators are the last to recognize these sort of things. So, I mean, I think they know exactly where the wind is blowing. But the question is, did we throw the baby out with the popo water?
Yeah, there's some obvious questions here, like, I would say 99% of the time, law enforcement is a great ally to have on your side. So by barring them from areas where you may need help with a patient or something, or you may need them to come in and take a patient away if the patient is, I don't know, would that ever happen?
I mean, 100%. Yeah. Like, I've always seen law enforcement in the hospital setting as our allies, our brothers and sisters in blue.
It seems like a bit of an overreaction, honestly, and it seems a little like PC bullshit to me, but that's just me. That's how I feel about it.
Honestly, you want to know the truth? I feel the same way. Yeah. And that's my initial response to this is, okay, now we're all trying to look like we're doing something about this. What needs to be done is a broader police issue where there needs to be better training, and also better training on the hospital side of in the security side, on the, you know, University of Utah police. All these other folks need better training.
We talked about it. The police basically have a thankless job.
Yeah.
And it's like a near impossible job. It kind of reminds me of being a doctor or a nurse.
It's very similar, and that's why I actually feel a kinship to them. And you know what's interesting, Tom? This is one of these little known, maybe well-known in healthcare. If you get pulled over for a speeding ticket and you have a stethoscope on your passenger seat, it is almost like garlic to a vampire. They will see you as a brother or sister, and they will often, not always, often let you off the hook, especially if you start crying, which I often do. but no, seriously, it is, there is a, and whether that's right or wrong, you guys can decide, but the thing is, there is this connection. And so it hurts a little bit to see this kind of action have to be taken. Now, somebody had said it's not just a cultural thing, it's a Wild West mentality, says Marty Becker. Rules apply when authorities want what they want. So is it just an authority thing? I love it, Z-Dog, keep it dark as fuck, Twyla Higgins, you know that. Thundercats, says Christy Patrick Hansen. Snarf, snarf.
I just feel like we're living in this world where like one person from a group does something, right? Mm-hmm. And then we just tar the whole group, you know?
Yeah.
Like one white person says something racist, and you know, if you're a black person or Mexican person or something, you're like, all white people are racist, right? Or like vice versa. Yeah, so it's crazy that we're doing that in this society, because it's like, shouldn't we be living in this world where we're judging each other on our actions? And this is just one bad dude, this Jeff Payne guy. Like,
well, what do you think about all the, because there was a few officers in the room, Z, at the same time. And they just stood there.
And you could see they were a little, now in the longer clip, they were a little bit like, ooh, this is not good. You know what's interesting is the chief nursing officer, whoever was on the phone with Alex before it all went down, was like, you know, you're making a mistake because you're attacking a nurse right now. And I mean, they knew.
Yeah.
They knew. Look, we know there are 3 million, you know, RNs, LVNs, you know, the extended nurse spectrum, and in the U.S. And there's like, you know, 200 or 300,000 doctors or something.
Right.
And 100 and some odd thousand pharmacists. And so in terms of strength in numbers, they have the numbers, right? And you, and not only that, but they have the moral high ground. They're the most trusted sort of group of professionals that exist by the public. And there's a reason for that, because they're freaking dope.
But look how fast the nurses got justice in this Alex Wobbles case. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine if, you know, that like the things that we do, part of Silent No More and all that kind of stuff, if that just the everyday like necessary horror of being in healthcare, if that riled people up in the same way, what could get accomplished?
Oh my gosh. I mean, and I've always said this, like the ZPAC sometimes feels powerless. And I get a lot of messages on the back end and they're saying, what can I do? I was hit in the face by a patient. I have this, I have that. And I'm like, you don't understand, man. There is power when we come together as a group and we talk about it publicly, because in this age of social media, in the age of video-induced outrage, you can actually get an emotional connection with people in a much easier way that actually leads to change. Like, this may lead to some short-term crappy change like this, which I don't think is meaningful. I think we need a bigger conversation about what is the role and connection of law enforcement and healthcare, and they're very deeply connected. And we talked about that in the last show when I spoke with, I talked about speaking with Chris Weaver and how he trains law enforcement and healthcare people to kind of de-escalate violent situations.
What should you do then? Should you buy a body cam? Like how you get a dash cam for your car, just in case.
Right.
Just in case you're punched in the face by a patient.
Well, we talked about this in a show a while back before we did Incident Report. It was just a live show.
Right.
And there is this sort of study that the nurses with the body cams had a little bit of better outcomes on particular parameters. I forget what. The thing is, those body cams, it sounds terrible and crazy, guys. Like, oh my God, fucking nurse gonna wear a body cam, HIPAA. Like, is the administration gonna try to control them with the footage? You know, who owns the footage? What's going on? But if you really think about it, the body cams are activated when the nurse chooses to activate them. When they feel threatened or they feel something is about to go down, they sense the escalation happening, they can click it on. And so it's nurse controlled. So if you're having, you know, the potluck and you're talking shit about the CEO, you don't turn that shit on. You turn it on after, you know, someone's ready to throw fists at you.
Right, because don't the body cams go back 30 seconds?
I don't know the answer to that.
Oh, well, you press the button.
You press the button and they go back 30 seconds.
Oh, that's perfect.
They do. So you press it and then you get 30 seconds before.
That's perfect. So they are kind of buffering and recording the whole time. Okay, that makes sense.
But they're not actually capturing until you tell it.
And again, the question is, can, you know, bosses or employers come back and go, we want to see the body cam footage from this, even though you didn't click the button. It's all buffered on there.
You should be like, that's my personal body cam.
Yeah, exactly. You don't want to see that because that body cam's like, wow, 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 wow. I've been trying. Oh God, that's gross.
Smash Forward says, meaningful conversation. What is the path for reconciliation?
The path for reconciliation is having conversations. You know what? Alex Wobbles was very conciliatory to the mayor's office and the police department. She says, they apologize to me and I take their apology seriously. I accept it.
I think we can just all agree that Alex Wobbles is like a better person.
She's
than
a
all
superhuman.
Of us.
Yeah, I mean, she's a superhuman. Like, I mean, look, I'm having just a bad mood day, and I'm a little baby back bitch. Like Alex Wobble is like, you know, was literally, you know, thrown in the back of a squad car in front of her peers and her patients, and she goes on the news and is like, you know, I take their apology and it's cool, but you know, we can't let this happen. She was just the right amount of firm, just the right amount of conciliatory. And that's how we do. We have a dialogue, and we also have to recognize when we're behaving emotionally and irrationally. I've tried to do that. I've gotten some praise and some criticism for advocating restraint in this. So
What's the criticism?
Well, some of the criticism is fuck you and your restraint. This shit is outrageous, and why aren't you screaming and pulling out, you know, chest pubes and throwing them on the table? And I'm like, because I don't have chest pubes. I do have chesticles, but that's a whole different thing. And the truth is, there's plenty of that on the internet. I think our role, look, first of all, we're professionals. You may not believe it because we say fucking shit and balls and sometimes dick.
Yeah, say butts, boogers.
Occasionally taint. But we do that at work too, behind, you know, in the lounge. So it's more a question of, you know, we are held to a higher standard. We do need to try to do our best to be compassionate to all sides. I was actually, somebody put a visitor's post on my page, and you guys think I don't read this shit. I read every fucking comment, message. I don't respond to all of them because some of them is just too much, and I'm like, okay, I get it. And it's read, and the fact that you see it marked as read means I have seen it with my own eyes. I just decided there's not a good reason to respond, or I'm too busy or whatever. But there was one that was something like, regarding your lecture about compassion for this officer, I see no reason you have to earn compassion, this and this and this, to which I say, fuck that. Compassion is love in the face of suffering. Even someone who commits this sort of atrocity that this police officer did has a type of suffering that if we're really, really acting as the highest level humans we can, we will find some degree of love for that person. That doesn't mean we accept their crime. It doesn't mean we allow it to go unrecognized or unpunished, but it means that we find the humanity in that person that committed it. It's very hard to do, and I don't think I'm lecturing. I'm just saying this is what I try to do. I don't even succeed. I'm a baby back bitch most of the time.
What do you say to, you know, there's this certain, thought or mindset that if you put a body camera on, if you put, you know, mace in your purse, if you do all these kinds of things, that you're heightening your own paranoia, and then you're living in like a world that you've created where everyone's out to get you.
You don't know me, Tom.
Logan is. It's funny because I think of Logan right away. Anytime I send, like, I'll take a screenshot of something where like a fan will send something interesting and I'll send it to Logan. And Logan will respond from a place of mild paranoia, like, you know, you should sleep with one eye open, Z.
No, it's funny, because I bought a gun off of Logan recently.
Selling guns, yo.
Legal in Nevada. We can just buy guns from each other.
Oh, yeah, Bert.
And now I got this thing in my house, and I'm like,
I was paranoid.
Damn, what if somebody comes around that corner? I'm going to have to pop them real quick. And I just like, it changed my whole thought process.
Right. Know? Whereas if I hear a noise in my house, I'm like, I'm running right now, and I'm not sure I'm gonna grab my family. I'm just gonna run like a screaming child. But you know, again, we our mind creates reality. We create reality. We've talked about that, and it'd be nice to try to create the best reality we can. It's not always easy, and it does sound lectury. And you know, everybody from Buddhist monks down to, you know, Mormon elders will tell you the same thing, that you try to turn the other cheek and forgive. And the forgiveness is not just for other people; it's for your own damn self. Because carrying around all that pissed off rage is just hard to fucking deal with all day. I just ain't got time for it.
Well, I actually think that our audience doesn't have a problem with forgiveness. I think they're too quick to forgive and to forget.
Oh.
And they go right back to work and keep acting like nothing happened, because I feel like they have an amazing, you know, ability to empathize a lot of the people in the healthcare space. Mm. And so they can rationalize a little bit, like, well, this guy, you know, he hit me because he had a bad life and he's a bad person, you know, whatever, but.
Mm. Let's ask the Z-Pac if they think that's true, because I think that's a interesting question.
Sometimes I get that vibe. I'm not saying it's
true. No.
I don't know.
I think a lot of times our intuitions are correct, but of course we're painting with a broad brush, but I think it's entirely possible. Judy Zimmerman says, compassion is showing grace in the midst of a shite show. Actually, you know, Tom, respect is a part of that, and it has to be mutual, Judy Zimmerman. So I think I could interpret what you're sensing, Tom, as these guys have a high capacity for doing their job in the face of fucking bullshit.
Yeah.
So they have to let it go, because they know they're not going to be able to get through another set of 12s if they have to.
For instance, I've talked to EMTs who are like, dude, I get punched all the time.
Yeah.
And he's like, but what am I going to do? Stop, file report. Like, I have work to do.
Got shit to do.
I have to get right back to work.
Totally.
Somebody punches me, right back to work, 10 seconds later.
Yeah. No, and again, it is. And we're, a lot of us go into healthcare because we're those type of people that believe anything can be cured with a little extra work.
Right.
And that's how they get you. Because they're like, well, you know, if you just worked a little bit harder at being more efficient, maybe you wouldn't have such a shitty day.
Yeah.
And you're like, wait, no, hold on, wait. You just added 30 things to my plate, and you want us to deliver incredible customer service, because now these are customers, and you're wondering why I'm fucking miserable and everybody's quitting. Well, that's called being a fucking human being.
That's the difference between a healthcare worker mindset and a regular person, a muggle like me. Like, muggle like me looks at somebody that smokes, I'm like, that guy's a smoker, he's a piece of shit, he's gonna die. You're like, damn, I need to get this guy to stop smoking.
You know? You know what's funny? So in medical school, occasionally we would have a cigarette on the porch because we were totally idiotic.
Yeah.
And we were assholes. And we would watch someone go by who was smoking a cigarette. And all three of us would form an unconscious impression, the three medical students I hung out with, that guy's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
As we're like smoking.
And the only difference is you have a coat on, a white
coat.
Right.
The degree of denial that pervades the human psyche to provide defense against just ego destruction is really deep. Christine McGrory agreed, Tom. I've been having a bad day and I lose my ish on someone and I have to give a pass to someone else who's having the same bad day. Yeah.
The problem is not you guys. The problem is not somebody that has an empathetic feeling and wants to let it go. That's not a problem. The problem is the administration or anybody who's above that in the hierarchy who says, well, they just don't even mind getting hit, you know? It's not even that big a deal for them.
Well, you know, Patty never forgets. Patty Shepard, I still haven't forgotten the cows on The View. Won't get over this anytime soon. So the Show Me Your Stethoscope piece, the doctor stethoscope piece. No, nurses, you know, they forgive, but I don't think they do forget. You have to distance yourself, use dark humor and terrible coping mechanisms. Otherwise, this job will eat you from the inside out. Allie Brown. Wow, that's dark and true. And it's actually, you know, I sometimes in my talks, I'll talk about in the bottom of my sort of darkest days as a doctor, when I was super burned out, I used one of my few gifts, which was humor, as the coping mechanism that it often is. And it can be a high-level coping mechanism or it can be a very regressive coping mechanism. And at the darkest points, it was very regressive. So at this point, you're making jokes about patients, you're making jokes about other staff, you're making jokes about the specialist down the road who's an asshole, who has a funny soul patch because he thinks he's you know, Mr. Spandex Machu Picchu climber. That kind of humor is, it's a coping mechanism, but it's a dark one. The question is, how do we in healthcare cope without falling into the vortex of pure, you know, dark side energy coming out of our fingers? That's why I think Doc Vader is an interesting cat that way, because he can fucking go dark side on a motherfucker right there. He can say what we're all thinking, and we can go, there, I said it, even though I never said it, right? When I get in that mask, holy shit. Like, my frontal lobe turns off 100%, and I'm just like, destroy everyone. Kill all of them. Like, just all the evil that has been building up as a response to the just soul-crushing horror of Health 2.0 comes raging out. And we just film it as a rant, and we just edit it slightly and put it out. So that's just unfiltered id.
Alexis Garland says, Z-Dog, if you were a doctor on the floor in that ER when this happened to Alex, how would you have responded to the situation? And this is a question I've been getting from a lot of people, regular people who saw this incident take place. They say, where were the doctors? Where were any of the doctors? So I want you to be real. What would you have really done? Put yourself in that place. You're on the floor that night. You see it go down. What's Z-Dog MD do?
It's so funny, I'm smiling because I know exactly what most doctors are gonna do. You have to understand that doctors are conditioned by years and years of brutal training to be deferent to authority. Deep down, they don't wanna be because they were creative, intelligent people before they went into all this, but now they know that the authority figure is the person who sets the pace, whether it's saying what the standard of care is, whether it's saying how, you know, they're going to get paid, whether it's saying, you know, any number of things, right? They defer to authority unconsciously. So I can tell you consciously right now, if I think about it, I would have gone to the other officers and said, what the fuck is your colleague doing? I wouldn't have gone near that officer because he looked dangerous and I have a self-protective mechanism that would have been like, I don't want to get shot because I've seen enough brown people getting shot that I don't want to be that guy that gets shot. And that would have been my fucking rationale. But honestly, what really would have happened is I would have stood there going, because unconsciously I'm conditioned going, the authorities are doing something here. Wonder why they're doing that. Because that's the conditioning, right? So it's hard to know. I think in the moment, if I'd been through the whole thing and seen what was going down, I probably would have at least defended her to the other authorities there, but I would have been very reluctant to approach the actual arresting officer, Jeff Payne.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the officers that were standing by near the incident in the video should have been the ones to directly confront.
Yeah. But, I don't know the culture in law enforcement. I don't know if that is the culture in law enforcement to directly confront another officer like that in front of officers. I just don't know. Speak truth to power. You see injustice. You stand up for it all day, every day. Smash Ford. Smash Ford. I like your name. Smash Ford. The thing is, that is a very easy sentiment when your livelihood doesn't depend on it, when you haven't had years of conditioning to obey authority, when context determines everything. If all your environment and all your supervisors and everybody there is imprinting you that you don't do anything, often the human impulse is to go along with that herd. It's not right. It doesn't make sense, but it's an unconscious conditioning in many people, not everybody, and maybe you're an outlier that would go up into their face. Honestly, I'm fucking standing in front of a lens here in Las Vegas. I left a job at Stanford to talk shit to you guys. Clearly, I'm insane. Clearly, I have a problem with authority, but still, I have so much conditioning, you know, that it's a real issue.
You know, people are asking, you know, why do people think doctors are directly in charge of nurses? And, this is a common muggle thing. I kind of still thought this up until, like, you know, recently, until we started working together.
It's a perception that goes back to the early days of Health 1.0 that was so hierarchical. And still, doctors give nurses orders in the circles of the verbiage that is used. And when you give someone an order, you're their superior, right? But that's not really what's happening. What's really happening is we're writing instructions that only the nurse can carry out. And legally, we write those instructions and they carry the instructions out. But that doesn't mean that there's, you know, that we're the boss, right? And that's a big misunderstanding. But it's a culturally perpetuated notion in healthcare.
Tanya says, I had a doctor hide below the counter charting while a patient is cussing and threatening my coworker, RN. He didn't even flinch. He kept charting as I was secretly calling security. Security!
I'm telling you, no, it's like those stories you hear about someone gets raped in a big city and she's calling for help and none of the neighbors respond.
Right, they say call fire, not rape.
Right.
People won't come to rape.
People won't come to rape because they don't want to get involved. You know, and honestly, there's going to be a part of people in that emergency department, doctors, nurses, anybody there who are going to be like, I don't want to get involved in this because I'm just trying to get through my day. And it's sad, but it's true. That's the kind of human response. And you know what? Don't judge those people as bad people. You have to go, this is how humans are really the product of a lot of conditioning and a lot of social conditioning and training and those kind of things. And you don't unwind that instantly. But at the same time, people shine under stress. They step up, they lift the bus off the child. They come and they do incredibly altruistic things in the moment, you know? So there's no one size fits all, but in this situation, it's tough to know what actually would have happened if I were there, say.
Yeah, look at like Hurricane Harvey, you know, like all the people that have stepped up in the wake of Hurricane Harvey.
They had to send them away. There's so many.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, people have, there's been a huge amount of altruistic outpouring for Harvey. I want to thank everybody, by the way, in the ZPAC who donated up to $20,000 using one show that we did with a button. And it was unbelievable. And you know, we got some shit for picking Samaritan's Purse as our charity. Just a couple people are like, how dare you? They're religious. It's like, listen, this is Texas. B, we researched that charity. They send their money where it's needed, regardless of whatever their leader thinks or whatever. I don't care about that. I care about the money getting where it's needed. And they were on the front lines in Ebola and they're on the front lines in Harvey. So thank you for that. Now, one thing I do want to say, by the way, because I've gotten a few messages about this, Montana and the West that's burning right now.
Yeah.
People are like, what about us? We do think about you guys. There's a lot of pollution, there's smoke everywhere, people are coughing. It's a big deal and it's underreported because of everything else that's going on. But the thing is, in the era of climate change and all this, which Logan doesn't believe in, you're gonna see more and more of this. Like Irma's coming now and we're thinking about Florida. So, you know, it's a big, and look, humans see the world through the lens of empathy, less so compassion. Let me just clarify real quick. Empathy is a spotlight focus on one person or a group of people that are suffering and feeling their pain as if it was your own. It leads to bias, it leads to poor judgment, it leads to in-group, out-group hostility because, oh, wait, you heard of this person that looks like me? Screw this group, right? Yeah. Now, compassion can be broad. You can think bigger. What's the right answer for the most people to eliminate the most suffering? Can I love everybody as conscious entities? It's hard, and that's, you can cultivate it, though. Empathy just burns you out. You need it sometimes, but not all the time.
It leads to straight-up communism. Straight up.
If the Russians love their children, too.
Health 3.0 is amazing, Angela says. All healthcare providers should be working for the patient. Speaking from a pediatric pharmacist, Thanks, RNs, MDs, PharmDs, respiratory therapists, et cetera. It's all about the patient.
I'm going to tell you something real quick. Health 3.0. Tomorrow, our guest is going to be Robbie Pearl, the former CEO of the Permanente Medical Group, 10,000 Kaiser docs and 10 million patients for like 15 years. He ran that. And I just read his book, Mistreated, which we'll put an Amazon affiliate link for tomorrow. So if you buy it, the proceeds go to Doctors Without Borders, and a tiny piece of those proceeds even help to support the show if you buy it through our link. The premise that he talks about is 100% Health 3.0, and it's these tiers. You need an integrated system where people work in teams across specialties and across fields. So SNF, ER, EMS, pharmacy, home health, all of them integrated with their skin in the same game. The second tier being connected with a health IT platform that doesn't fucking suck. So that actually helps you take care of patients and then gets out of the way, that shows you across the continuum of care what's going on so that you don't miss an opportunity to prevent disease, right? And all of that is then wrapped into a value-based payment system where you're actually paid to keep people healthy. So we're gonna talk about that tomorrow. We're gonna dig into the weeds of 3.0 from someone who's been trying to build it with a mixture of success and failure for a long time. So it's gonna be really, really, really something you don't wanna miss. Tomorrow.
Do you guys realize how big the show is getting? The head of Kaiser is coming here. It's amazing. So come with your comments and stuff, because we need them.
I
don't know what to talk to about this guy. I'm just gonna be like, so man, like, I heard Kaiser's a big deal.
Well, you know what? It's not even about Kaiser that he's talking about, because he doesn't even care. He's more about like, he was at the table with all the interest when the Affordable Care Act was written. He was there. He was in the room where it happened.
Oh, communist care? Tell me more.
Uh-huh. He's going to talk about that. He's going to talk about how perception and context alter how we feel about anything, even a piece of legislation that may have nothing to do with your life particularly, but you'll spin it based on your politics, which is interesting. And after reading the book, I'm convinced that he understands the problems deeply. He cares a lot about the solutions. Whether or not he has all the right solutions, I'm not 100% convinced, but he's as close to a 3.0 sort of trajectory as I see in the thought leadership space in healthcare. So I'm quite excited.
Somebody said, what time is he coming on? It'll be at 7 again tomorrow.
7 p.m. Pacific.
Yep.
7 p.m. Pacific. And I'm a little nervous because this place is a fucking shithole. And he's used to like, he writes for Forbes, he's on CBS, he does all these things. And I'm like, oh God, here we go. It's gonna be a diva. He's gonna want like green M&Ms and like special stuff. But it doesn't look like that, because he's gonna come to our shitty studio and there's gonna be like Tad here. Tad's gonna be like, I don't care who you, I don't care who you are, Mr. Kaiser. You ain't shit to me. And you know we're gonna get a ton of docs and nurses who are gonna write in and say Kaiser is shit. We hate it. It's the Borg. We don't want it. And we're gonna talk a little bit about that. But honestly, it's less about Kaiser. So it's going to be really, really, really interesting.
I think it's time to wrap up, but before we do, I'm going to put you on the spot really inappropriately. A few thoughts on DACA, Z.
Ha! You want me to talk about DACA? What an asshole. Oh, we're going to wrap it up. Now talk about a really controversial shit. And while you're at it, why don't we talk about, you know, nurse practitioners who call themselves doctor? Because that was big on Kevin MD. That got a lot of hate. Why don't you talk about that? And then also, yeah, let's talk about the Holocaust. Was it fake? What the fuck, dude? DACA. Yeah, I think DACA's pretty cool. It's all
join
good.
Us later in the week for a very special episode. We'll be talking about DACA and other things.
Did the wall get 10 feet higher?
That wall keeps getting higher every time you talk about it, Logan. It's amazing. Guys, thank you, thank you. Thank you for trying to bring a little bit of compassion into the world. It is important. Logan actually has it, even though he pretends he doesn't. Tom actually has it, even though he's convinced he doesn't. And I have none of it, because I'm a total asshole. Fuck you guys, I'm out. Go, 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 go.